Mama Kenya, Echo Dara Kenya Irawo, Parasuayo, Mama Kenya, Echo Dara Kenya Irawo, Elegbara. Kenya, etuo dara, Kenya irawo.
Woo! Thank you. I'm Michaela Gaston, my accomplice of 30 years or so, and how wonderful, Sean Patrick O'Donohue, my other splendid accomplice. So welcome, team. Welcome, team. The summer solstice is really a public safety festival, right? So we really need this and want this. And so first we begin with the immortal lines of Br'er Rabbit. There was times when all the critters used to gather to sagashuate. That's us. Just like there ain't been no hard times. Like there ain't been no falling out.
Yes.
Or grievance. Like they all remembered they were kin.
There we go.
So, right. So summer solstice is when we Sol, sun stands still, right? It's at its northern peak, and it sets and rises at its most northern arc for 3 days either side of now. And so the solstice says, let's slow way down and cool out and step into the still point in the center, right? So let Sol step into the still point, the calm center of the storm, right, to find our rhythm. And breathe out pressure and stress and conniption fits. Breathe in welcoming kinship support. There we go. So finding our rhythm. And so Ami is just Elegba Das again. Elegba, Mercury, the path opener, who summons our wits from the far realms of where they've been dispersed by social media and Twitter and conniption fits and crackpot tyranny and everything just going, whoo, and all the realms of reactivity. And we go, whoo, pulling them all in, pulling them all in. There we go. So, yeah, it's great to gather with all of you beings, wonderful rapid metaphoric response team, right? Because it is, we're in the center of the storm. Right, slowing way down, becoming responsive, not reactive. Right, there we go. Yes, right. Because the wild storms of vituperative polarity and hot reactivity and crackpot tyranny
and tomfoolery.
And tomfoolery and shenanigans.
And buffoonery.
And malarkey.
Right. And the only archy we like is malarkey. That's right. We're here for malarkey. Yeah. And the possession by the cunning man and all those things that we've. There we go. So in fairy tales, and our rising sign is king and queen of the fairy realm, step between worlds. And we go, oh, there. So brief part of the tale of the Prince Carneta. Many fairy tales begin with betrayal. You know, one is tricked into a journey one didn't want to take, but it's going to turn out to be good for everybody. So the uninitiated youth sets forth with a wise animal, but they don't really know they don't really understand the nature of the journey or their task, and they run into a Sufi beggar who goes, "You all don't know what you're doing, do you? Or where you're going? Or what the point is?" And they're like, "No, we really don't. We really don't. All certainty has been dissolved." And so he says to each of us, "Take this iron ball, which is so cool. Iron is sacred to Mars, our desire, right? Take this iron ball, the ball of your desire, and toss it and follow it wherever it goes." And so that's what they do. And it's such a genius metaphor because it's iron, it's magnetic, it spirals with the whole orbital cycle of the planets and the plants. There we go. And it takes us, them, to the fairy world where they receive a dream and an understanding of what the journey's about and what their gifts are, you know, and what they're supposed to do. So I love that. You know, and then just one last little bit from that all-important fairy tale. They come to dangerous things. Remember, each of us has a wise animal. It's a metaphoric animation of our Mars as well, desire and animal instinct. So in this case, it's the wise pony. And they come to impossible, scary things, the burning river and the glass mountain. And the pony says to us, the rider, let go of control. Let my reins be slack, and you hang on tight, because I know how to get us through this. So that's what the young lad, us, does, holds on tight, and they soar over the burning river. And the wise pony says to us, how are we doing? And we go, barely alive. And the wise pony says, that's fantastic. If you're barely alive, this is going to turn out great. Okay. So I love that part of the dynamic, you know, and stepping into the fairy world to receive what we need to dree our weird, right? Mm. A wonderful Celtic phrase, to play our role in destiny, right? Yeah, feel free. Yes, we want an atmosphere of convivial exchange here, you know, between everybody attending, you know, and feel free to undulate, right? Because we don't want to have or make an impact, right? A one-time violent assault. We want a long, curvy influence, right? And the sky rivers and the climate, like, oh my goodness, the sky rivers are stalling because of human up to no good irreverence. You know, they've lost the capacity to undulate. So undulating, feel free to be not self-conscious, you know. So there, and then stepping into the fairy world, and that's where with team, we have the planets, the astro-mythological guidance and support in the fairy world. We'll bring in the plants and we'll bring in the orishas and the blessings to three-way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so some of the plants, I do have mugwort here, and Sean and I are just finishing a Plants and Planets Council. This would be the eighth week, open to everybody and our core team, and then we'll have another session next week just for fun. But that team, but I love this dance, you know, and it's as though the plants and planets, you know, they were happy to avail themselves. Mm. And it's also the power of dedication that we will honor too, which is our inner dedication strengthens our outer signal. So really, one of the primary dedications that we're all going to co-animate and help each other out, mutual aid, you know, dance us into place where we can do the most good, have the most fun, contribute our gifts to the community in a manner of reciprocal blessing. And windfalls of wherewithal. There we go. That's right. Ashe. Eleutherios. Oh wait, I'm skipping ahead. Right, okay. So we have plants to take with us. So I have been in love with, since we started our course, and people have been hanging with me have heard this, but I still love it. The word vessel in all languages means container, like alchemical vessel, and boat. Right. Mm-hmm. So here we are, our gathering, you know, is where we're conjuring our vessel, our alchemical vessel. We have much good experimental magic to do together. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, we will get in our boat and set sail. Really wonderful. So what are we putting in our boat, and who are we taking in our boat? What qualities of support and gifts from the fairy world? Mm-hmm. But they always come with a bargain, right? We give you this, and in exchange, you give your dedication. Mm-hmm. We give you a story, you dedicate to telling it. We give you the capacity to understand all languages, and in return, you... Yeah, so it's a to and fro kind of thing. So mugwort, I have some here, and Sean has suggested that I put it in my smoking mixture, which I think is a wonderful idea. We're allowed to smoke anything, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Mugwort. I love mugwort so much. In Irish, it's loosely the silver herb, and with the liha being the silver of the moonlight. that kisses the bottom of the leaf. So Luslia mugwort. And the mug, of course, refers to the fact that once upon a time, when people were still allowed to be part of dreaming the land, mugwort was frequently used to brew beer. But when the Protestants came into power in Germany during the beginning of the rise of capitalism, they required all beer instead to contain the sedative and aphrodisiac hops in order to suppress the minds and the libido of the common country folk who had been drinking too much mugwort and drinking too many other herbs that were transforming their consciousness.
Aha, we're going to get to so many. Yes, exactly.
Yes. Yeah. And so mugwort also is, in the medieval iconography of John the Baptist, always the girdle that John the Baptist wears. Mm. He wears a girdle of mugwort as a symbol of his emergence from the wilderness. And it's interesting when I think about it, because I think about how mugwort is an artemisia, so connected with Artemis, so the wild and holy feminine that exists outside boundaries of the city. And who does a voice crying out in the wilderness love and serve and dance with but his wild feminine equivalent? And so when he comes out as the voice of the wild redeemer, carrying the cries of liberation and the vision of worlds to come, he is wearing the herb of the exiled wild feminine and bringing her back forward.
Wait, and I just have to say one quick thing. Mars overhead right now at 19 Leo next to Venus. We can see them tonight. Its image is a Dionysian houseboat party.
Ooh, wow.
Now
you can't make this up. That's right.
Eleutherios.
Eleutherios.
I'm jumping ahead again. I can't help myself. Eleutherios. All right. We'll make it available to everybody in a moment. All right. Now back to you.
Who said time was linear?
That's right.
So when we think of mugwort, we very often think of dreaming, because mugwort certainly can bring us more deeply into that quality of dreaming. But in the same way, mugwort being a plant of the hedge, a plant of the boundary between the village and the wild, mugwort also, if you have strayed far out of the reality most people around you are within, and gone off into the ethers, mugwort will help pull you back. And one of the things I really love about working with mugwort as a smoking herb is I've known so many artists and musicians who love working with cannabis to unleash their creativity, and then they get the brilliant ideas that they then forget. And if you mix mugwort in with the cannabis, then they remember the ideas and they bring them forward into expression.
Oh, may I jump in just a smidge here? All right, toing and froing. Right, forgetting and remembering, that's so great. Right. We are in accord, wizard brother. Right, that I love that mugwort is protection and dreaming, protection for dreaming. And it's sacred all over the world, but especially in the Ukraine. And it's burned on the summer solstice, and the ashes are taken back to one's house to set and protect the boundaries and the border of the country, perhaps, right? So, and then just very briefly, wonderful Max Dashew said, you know, the word Chernobyl means mugwort. The tale is told of maiden walking through the woods, and she falls into a pit of serpents, and they keep her there all winter, you know, and then close to the summer solstice, right? They form a ladder out of their bodies, and she climbs back up. And the queen of the serpents says to her, "We have taught you everything about how to undulate in cooperation with nature, you know, and about mugwort is the secret name of Chernobyl, but you must never say it, or you will forget all that we've taught you." And she goes, "Okay." And she comes back. She goes, "Cool." And she's walking down the road, emerged, and somebody goes, "What's that plant?" And she goes, "Mugwort." Oh, right. So I just wanted to, about, you know, forgetting and remembering. This is a big time about what if we've forgotten personally and collectively that we want to remember. And just, I burned a little mugwort here, and we just, you know, you can do map magic, you know, protect your house, protect your country, protect the Dementors from themselves, you know, there, right. Now, back to you, Sean.
Well, and I think that memory is the work of the Salmon of Knowledge, who is the oldest being in all the worlds. Yeah. Some say he was the Dagda, the king, the fairy king, who, in order to understand the dreams of the deep, needed to go into the form of the denizen of the deep, and so went deep into space, deep into time, deep into water, all the way down the well in the other world, where all rivers have their source, and ate of the nuts of the nine hazels that were falling, and then swam to the surface, where he was caught by a young boy named Finn, who was serving a druid named Finnegas. And Finnegas means he who Finn became, essentially. And so Finnegas had spent all his life searching for this salmon and his wisdom, and then looked back to find himself as a boy receiving all of that into his body through a bit of salmon oil that leaped from the pan over the fire. So in calling forth memory, we call forth that salmon of knowledge. And we also call forth the oak as the ancient memory keeper of the forest, living 1,000-year lifespans, recording in its body everything that passes in that place over long, long periods of time, and then codifying it into the acorns that fall and grow into what we'll remember, what we do now. And so thinking of that long view of time, and thinking also of Finn and Finnegas, I'm thinking about how we can all call to our future selves to ask to be reminded how we got through this time.
In fact, we're going to marry them at the end of the evening. Mm-hmm. All right, that's a good thing. And then I have St. John's wort here, as you have guided us before, lo, these many years, which is particularly summer solstice, right?
Yes. And well, because the feast is...
Wait, you say one drop, you say?
Yes. The feast of St. John is the summer solstice. Ah. And so, by the old calendar. And so, and John the Baptist really is the form that the wild masculine spirit of the land wears when he comes slipping into Christianity. And St. John's wort is his holy flower because it is the most solar of all the plants. It emerges forth on the summer solstice, on St. John's Day. And it's one of the great medieval plants of exorcism. Mm. There are two of them. Mm-hmm. Wood betony anchors your own highest self into your solar plexus so that nothing can come between you and your highest self, so there's no room for possession to occur. St. John's wort lights that bright sun of the solar plexus in order to shine a light that will burn out all that doesn't belong within. And then it's so interesting because at a physiological level, Jonathan Treasure calls it the pharmacological exorcist because St. John's Wort upregulates my favorite liver clearance pathway, cytochrome P450, which is the primary pathway through which we clear hormones and most drugs.
And alcohol.
And so making us more sensitive to what do we need to shed, what needs to be driven out, it's performing that chemical exorcist role within
and,
the body.
And it's interesting because the St. John's wort is all over my body and hands now. It's very sticky.
It's sticky and red. Sticky and red.
I guess so. Right. Yes, but it's enthusiastic. And that's, you know, the new moon and Gemini is behind us, just everything speaking to us, right? We live in a conversational creation, con with verse turning. We're all in this giant turning together. So St. John's wort, you recommend putting it in our elixir bowl as well as our vessel boat.
I do. And it's really funny because I've never actually done this for myself. But one year, somebody came and asked me for a formula to help them make money.
And I thought,
well, okay. And it was at right at the winter solstice that she was asking. And so I was like, well, okay, I don't exactly know how this works, but if we want to go to the peak of manifestation, we can go to the peak of the sun's manifestation. So we have the summer solstice, so we have St. John's wort. And then in Chinese medicine, metal is the element that draws things down to earth from heaven. And so it was a St. John's wort, and astragalus is a metal tonic. Protecting, nourishing our metal that shields us from what we need to hold a boundary against. And so it was St. John's wort and astragalus formula. And my client came back having had 3 job offers shortly after being given the formula. So I don't know why I never made this formula for myself. But
well, that is the question. Very often I'm doing a reading for people and I go, God, I'm having that transit too. I should do that. Yes. If we all did what we knew, we'd all be in fantastic shape. But that's why we're here, to help each other, right? To remember, exactly. You know, So can I take the baton from you for a moment, Sean?
Yes, please.
All right, and we will pass it back and forth in our Dionysian houseboat revelry. I just want to bring up just a little bit of the chart briefly, but to show what generosity is being bestowed on our befoibled selves, going, thank God, we've made it here to this still point. We're safe here. This is about safety. This is the time these days when Elegba, Mercury mind, hands the baton to Yamaya, to the moon, from Gemini to Cancer. So just a brief little looking at everything. All right, so here we are over here. So for fun, this is the live action chart of now. Oh, 17 Virgos overhead, how exciting. That's the degree when Marie Laveau was born, the great voodoo queen of New Orleans, and she's right behind me. And it's on June 23rd that Marie Laveau, the great voodoo queen of New Orleans, with High John the Conqueror, walks the street of New Orleans. It's a great time to go to New Orleans.
I've been there.
And, you know, Sean, you were asking me, like, although you explained, well, look, Dark Moon Lilith is with Mars on the Dionysian houseboat. Ah, that's a party team. And the moon just now entered Leo, just now, from Moon in Cancer, which is remembering. So you had asked, you know, John the Baptist, you know, and then becomes liberated. And I go, well, he becomes High John. And High John the Baptist feast, you know, is June 23rd in New Orleans. And High John is one of these folk heroes, these liberating folk heroes that we want to, that is waiting for us, you know, in the fairy world to make a partnership with and eager to go in our vessels to set sail, because he's one of the folk heroes who liberates the entire circumstance, liberates those enslaved, liberates the land, liberates even the tyrant, not counting on it, but willing, and finishes everything off with a laugh. And it was promised to us by by High John and Zora Neale Hurston's fantastic essay, that he, like King Arthur, did not die. He goes to go live in High John the Conqueror root. Wait, I have some here. Well, somewhere. Yes, close enough for mythological work. All right, mm-hmm. he goes to go live in High John the Conqueror to await the world's call, you know, at a time of solstice wedding, right, where the positive trickster redeemer Yang can wed the positive Scheherazade and liberate the world Yin. And we go, this is good. So yeah, I just wanted to bring in, you know, High John and just a little teensy tour, you know. So this is the Earth. Here's me outside Washington, D.C. Here's all of us. This is East. This is West. That's the only difference. Oh, but it's lovely. You know, everything's talking to us all the time. It's so wonderful. What's sitting in the West right now is 3+ Gemini, whose image, metaphor is for each degree of the zodiac, is holly and mistletoe, druidic life force. Oh, the God's calling your name, Sean. That's great. So we're right before the solstice. The sun is at 29 Gemini, the very last degree of Gemini, 30 degrees to a sign. And we just, you know, when we started, the moon was at 29 Cancer. Pluto in the sky is at 29 Capricorn. Ceres, Demeter, dwarf planet, we'll get to the Eleusinian mysteries, 29 Virgo. We have what, you know, little asteroid Vesta. We have what's called a grand trine in Earth, but a lot of 29s, which is ending, finishing, and discerning what do we want to take with us in our vessel and what do we want to leave behind. Yeah, many things, and we will have opportunity to dissolve things. But I just, one thing out of so many, well, the grand trine in Earth, Pluto, goes around every 248 years. It entered Aquarius briefly. Mm. It will come back in January 20th of 2024 for the next 24 years. Yeah. It's all about what is it to be a good citizen. But then Pluto snapped his fingers and said, let me go back into Capricorn for America's Pluto return. Pluto was here when America was founded, saying, all right, you Americans, you can have a democracy or let's try one, but only if you look at everything, you know, go all the way down through all the corruption and liberate it to what did this want to be before it got bamboozled and hoodwinked and orthodoxed and imprisoned. That's right. And then I just can't help it. Something I shared backstage, always etymology, that I just learned that the word escape means to leave your cape behind, right? So I love our trickster selves, our escape artists or escapade artists, meaning, yes, I have a cape, take the cape, I'm free. There we go. So, but Pluto at the most disciplined degree of the zodiac, trining Ceres Demeter, dwarf planet, goddess of the earth at 29 Virgo, whose image is an emergency call. Mm-hmm. One's attention goes to matters at hand. But it's also a woman calmly cleaning the house in the midst of an earthquake. It's like calm and cool will keep resonating those things. The last little thing I want to point out for now. Oh, look, and see, it's already live action. The horizon line changes 1 degree every 2.5 minutes. So now it was druidic life force. Now it's a radical magazine circulating liberating ideas. All right, backed by druid force. And what's rising is for Sagittarius, an owl seeing in the dark. May we all be perspicacious, calm, insightful, dedicated. You know, and then Vesta completes it with Uranus trickster. My friend Sylvia says, where Vesta is where we are divested of orthodoxy, delayed the usual part of this realm until the dedication to keeping the community well-being hearth flame is lit and made. We go, okay, we'll do that. And then Grand Trine on Earth, so many things possible. We go, oh. And we'll bring up, the last little bit I want to bring up for now is we're pattern tracking beings. Saturn, the still point, our authority, the power to define things. You know, it's the part of us. Each planet represents a quality of intelligence residing in each one of us, hence a skill of participation. And so we're here to insource everything we've outsourced. Because Saturn is authority, it's the part of us that we all tend most to outsource to sociopathic dingbats, to whatever the thing, or to anything that makes us afraid. anything that makes us constrict. And it's good, we've been aspiring this in our council class, but forever, just noticing in the day, where do we go? It's like, oh, outsource Saturn, insource it to our hara. Yes, our, a summer of dedicating to core strength, right? Our hara right below our navel. It's where our authority lives. And so for all of us who insource our authority, everyone's capacity to define things, our definition of good relationships, our definition of meaningful work, our definition of what government's meant to be, our definition of leadership, right? So for all of us who insource it, we're sucking the chi out of outer authoritarianism, right? Fun. So I love that. So it's at 7 Pisces, whose image is a person with a bugle calling in a new tide of cultural energy. Choo, choo, choo. Everybody feel free. Choo, choo, choo. And it's got an exact 60-degree angle, which is creative cahooting, to Jupiter at 7 degrees of Taurus. And we go, oh, it's a sextile. We are so lucky, you know, and we know that luck increases when we run on the fuel of curiosity and generosity. Oh, I just found this. Oh, let me buy you a thing. Oh, you're funding my project. Okay. But it says our dedication, this is for our metaphor for the last 7 weeks, but especially for all of us tonight. Saturn and Jupiter say to each one of us, form your vessel from your dedication. What is our dedication? If we don't know, it says just wonder, what is our dedication? And together they say, you know, whatever vessel you form, whatever vessel you craft, Jupiter says, I will fill it, right? And that's something, you know, I've been saying for our course, you know, Sean, and seeing the beautiful pattern, and now it's exact, you know, and then forgetting, right? And then going, God, I have all this fear. I should follow my own advice, right? So I did, I've dusted off all my vessels, you know, and the things around our house, you know, I pulled out my solstice necklace that had been dusty in a drawer. We dust these things and they're all so happy, like, oh, it's time. But again, our dedication, you know, grows the form as opposed to trying to fit our creative selves into a pre-existing form. But it says,
yes.
And all of our skills of participating, Saturn is our capacity to define things, to dedicate, to take vows. But it's terrible at, well, how are we going to do that? That just loads us with ancestral depression. And we go, no, Saturn's job is what, not how. Jupiter and Uranus, together in Taurus, chime in and say, we are a part of you and a part of life. We'll do how. You tell us what. We go, okay. So that's the astro mythology. Story for the moment. Right. And then, whoops.
Well, and you know, I wanted to chime in too, and say that it's such a powerful thing when you're talking about creating your vessel and needing to have that kind of sucking in the chi of your own authority and having the mental stillness to do that. And like Obatala is all about having that cool head, that focus. And this year, 2023, is the year for Obatala, with Oshun supporting Obatala. So anytime, and it's really about going so slow. Obatala is the grandfather Orisha, the one who is the father and the grandfather of all of them. And his color is the white cloth and the cool head. You've heard Caroline talk about kulu kulu and the white cloth. And it's so good when we're thinking about how to craft and create, to pull in and get really super still and turn off all of the, you know, distractions of life and just focus, like you said, on the vessels that we already have, the things that we have. So can I sing a song for Obatala here?
Yes, please. This is the perfect time. This is
okay,
the perfect time.
Perfect.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Baba fururu erere oro oba kangenye elejibo ehi fa oba tibasa wo Eri bore re bati pao enu aye bawaloro ye yawaloro.
To feel his presence and cloak around us, because he's very calm and confident, right? Calm confidence, a toast to everybody of calm confidence. And as we journey, just think also, maybe you have a cup or a beverage cup, or you can imagine one, it's almost as good. And as we just put drops of things in, like one drop of St. John's wort, you know, a blessing from Obatala to have strong confidence and backup, and Saturn, that we may be agents. And the power of defining things is so wonderful. I loved, you know, I can't remember her name, and nobody should. some annoying crackpot who had just written a book on, you know, the dangers of woke, right? And she was being interviewed by somebody who was almost as conservative a crackpot as she was. And the woman said, "I wrote a whole book on woke." And the interviewer said, "Define woke." And she's like, oh God, this is going to go viral. Yes, it is. It's a very good trick just to ask people to define things, right? Because then you have a conversation, define yes. that, you know. So Obatala, you know, and our Saturn, you know, and we're insourcing our Saturn, which is, yes. it's Obatala, but it's also our goat, right? When somebody or something gets our goat, we see our goat returning even friskier and less obedient than before it got. And we yes. feel its little warm, goaty breath and its little outer space eyes, our goat, right? So it's here, you know, our definition of meaningful work. Because if Saturn, related to Obatala, I want to toss it back to you in a moment, you know, is our goat, our sturdy mountain goat. It can climb any mountain. So once again, the question is, what mountain? And we, many of us have the experience of climbing the mountain and going, wrong mountain. I just climbed somebody else's definition of success, somebody yes. else's definition of meaningful work, or somebody else's marriage, right? But we can see Mount Sean or Ami or Caroline or Richard or Elizabeth or whatever, you know, and you go, all right, dum, 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 back down to the valley to climb our mountain.
Yes.
But yeah.
It's yes.
So Obatala, you know, can we see him, you guide protocol and proper manners, Ami, but can yes. we see him with, you know, High John the Conqueror and
yes, and Scheherazade. White Mountain Sage.
Sage.
Yes.
So these are our great sailing companions, like hop into our vessel.
Yes, absolutely.
Does your hand mean you want to speak, or is it just have a mind of its own?
Well, my hand is being a plant who wants to speak. Which is Ghost Pipe, which to me is an absolute embodiment of Obatala. Ghost Pipe is this purely white little stalk that grows up with a bell-shaped feather. Bell-shaped flower, which I suppose is a feather of sorts as well. And that bell-shaped flower is its indication it's in the same family as blueberries and heather. But it is a plant that draws all of its nourishment off of the mycorrhizal network. And in doing that, it draws all of the information that's moving through those webs of consciousness, those fungal webs, and those old tree minds, that deep vertical mind that remembers for a long time, that broad horizontal mind that knows everything that's in this moment. And in this little body, Ghost Pipe needs to understand how to remember its own identity enough to live well tapped into all of that. And the shape is just like the spine and the brainstem. And Ghost Pipe is a plant of our sensory gating, of helping us to shift our relationship to the information and sensation that's going on in the world. And so I first learned of it from Tommy Priester in Boston, who told me about working with it for physical pain. And he said, it doesn't make the pain go away, but it puts you beside the pain where you can look at it. And then...
And make jokes.
Yes. And then later, somebody going through great emotional pain came to me, having taken the medicine, and said, my problems and my sadness didn't go away, but they were in front of me where I could look at them and work with them. So it's that cooling of the head. You still maintain awareness, but you're no longer in that reactive and overwhelmed place.
So we might pack ghost pipe qualities in our elixir.
Yes.
We're brewing our elixir and in our vessel. And I thought, you know, Obotala, you often invoke him, Ami. And yes. Last time when the January 6th committee was meeting, I think you invoked Obotala so well because he was clearly standing behind Benny Thompson. Benny Thompson was like Obotala. And I would just request that we bring in, you know, sacraments, ghost pipe, Obotala, and a little microdose of mushrooms for Jack Smith.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. Born June 5th, right? For those who've seen Ted Lasso, he looks just like Coach Beard. He does in this early. Anyway, so just again, we back each other up, and the power of protection. Power of protection. You know, Pat Ewing and I were putting pewter shield around Biden last summer just so he could get something done and deflect the distracting, like, oh, he's too old and he's got his rhythm, like, let's support the thing. And it seemed to work. We experiment, yes. You know, but again, our capacity to weave protection around all who are aspiring to dree their weird and to hold ourselves to that as well. We're allowed to set in motion any blessing spell that we would gladly welcome ourselves as well. So, yeah, to hold people to dree their weird, to play their role.
Can you explain that, dree their weird? What does that mean exactly?
I love that. It's from Celtic lore, and I got from Terry Pratchett, right? To dree your weird, it means to play your role in destiny.
Ooh, yes.
It's like there's a Pluto part of all of us that feels like we have a mission. You know, we might not know what it is, we might have forgotten about it, but it's a true mythological dynamic that Pluto hums in all of us.
Nice.
And that's also, I love situations so dire, and we're in the still point. Good. But different teams are reporting in, like did a very fun radio show last week with astrologer Eric Meyer, talking about generations coming alive. And this powerful sky patterns of now are humming the Uranus-Pluto conjunction of the 1960s. So it's like 1960s is like a positive sleeper cell, right? Those who were born then, those who lived through it, those who have been culturally influenced at all, you know, and it's like humming. It's like, wait a minute, didn't we come to do something? We did. And then these different generations, the... you know, Generation Z, born with the Jupiter-Neptune conjunction in Capricorn, big dreams and competence. And we go, welcome, welcome. Yes. You know, and who's that coming over the hill? Oh, the person that I used to not like, but they're carrying half of the ring. All right, oh, there we go. You know, we want to see people's best selves, you know, brewing. And the solstice, it is the wedding. You know, Sean and I kind of began our course on Beltane, which is the courtship, and this is the wedding time where all that's been falsely estranged and wants to come back together, like folklore and science, right? We love that Johns Hopkins and its psilocybe mushroom studies is proving folklore. And Diana Beresford Kroger, wonderful show last week. Actually, Eric Myers was 2 weeks ago. I can't remember. Check out the radio archives. There's been some really good ones. But the power, you know, to cooperate with everything, you know, everything that has a name has a God. I think that's a playful way to play with it. And then part of it is syncretism, you know, crossing borders. Part of the beauty of Vodun is and Santeria is that under pressure, And there was High John, born out of pain to be the trickster redeemer of those oppressed. But out of pressure, many people from different civilizations forced into slavery brought their mythological gods and they syncretized them. So when Christianity came along, they're like, yeah, welcome, saints. You know, another sacrificial god, fabulous, right? And I think that's the attitude we want, brew it in, brew it in. Yes. And I've been mentioning, I think, to both of you that the New Orleans tarot voodoo tarot is interesting, and I'm going to dust it off. We're dusting off all these things that we have. We have so much. We have all we need. And when it first came out, I was like, oh, I said to my Cuban friend, Marcelino Santero, oh, they're doing a brilliant syncretism of the Kabbalah, Jewish mysticism, with Ifa from Africa, with voodoo in New Orleans. And Marcelino, a scholar of these things, says, well, that's because they started off as one thing.
Yes.
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
So it's one thing, and then it diasporas into different peoples and different religions, and but it's all from the one thing, right? And there's a certain point of maximum, like out there, you know, like right now, it comes back together, like, oh, yes. Wait, the syncretism, the New Orleans, the all of that, because I think you guys were, never mind the outline. I think it's just a distracting thing, right? Because didn't you want to bring up the three, and there's three of us, but the three in Celtic lore of the Celts, the Africans, and the Hawaiians?
Did you? Well, it's not so much in Celtic lore as it is in the life of Victor Anderson.
Ah, okay.
So, my teacher, Cornelia, who may be here tonight, was the student of Victor Anderson, who was a blind and magically gifted from a very, very young age, and came in remembering many things from many lifetimes, and then spent a childhood living in the different migrant work camps of the West in during the Great Depression. And so meeting with people from Haiti and people from Congo and people from Hawaii, who were all working in those camps alongside his family of many complex streams. And he was drank deeply from the stream of wisdom of Vudan. He drank deeply from the stream of wisdom of the Hawaiian tradition. And he drank deeply from the stream of wisdom of the Irish and Scottish and Welsh traditions. And they all poured together in a cauldron. And when he was asked, what is it that you're doing? He would say, oh, well, our religion is the cave paintings come back to life.
Right. We love that. The cave paintings. Yes. Great, great documentary, The Cave of Forgotten Dreams. Even the title is very hummingly resonant. And it's, I always quote it for the Eighth House and the Mysterious, which we have a lot of, because it's perfect, right? Because it's grumpy Werner Herzog, brilliant, grumpy filmmaker, who is granted access to the oldest cave paintings in the world, right? Older than Lascaux. And it's great because it's not somebody going in there, oh, it was painted by people from the Pleiades. No. Right. And so you can see him and his crew being moved by mystery. And there's a fantastic horse, right? So 25,000-year-old horse or more. And 5,000 years later, somebody paints another horse next to it.
Oh, wow.
And there's all these 25,000-year-old flutes made of antler. And there's a fire pit. And there's a moment where we can see Herzog and his film crew seeing it. As we can see it now, he says, so people gathered here for over 5,000 years. They made music and they shadow danced between the fire pit with the paintings.
Oh, wow.
I get goosebumps every time. It could have been us. But it says the purpose of art is not even to be seen. The purpose of art is to form gateways and portals through which power can be invited into the world. And that's the essence of solstice magic for 25,000 years. Mm. You know, oh, literal and symbolic light of sun, come on in and illuminate what we don't usually see, this writing, this painting at the back of the cave. This is the story our community wants to bring alive. Are you with us, invisible? Mm. With a few edits, Are you with us now? Yes, that'll do. Okay, so that's what we're here to do. And in keeping with neuroplasticity, right? And the sacraments and things that we will come back for in a moment, you know. But I like, you know, again, fluid. Let all of us have the creative autonomy to metaphor to customize, you know, metaphorically shapeshift, to customize our own into our own vision of the divine, right? It's heresy. We're heretics, right? Which meant was a term of praise, meant free thinking, cross-pollinating, contributor to culture, so that knowledge never became dogma or superstition. And so I love that. For me, you know, what I like is to imagine the divine as a giant coyote bowing down, going, woof, woof, wanna play? Like, dangerous in a good way. Okay, so that does it for me. But everybody's invited to, like, what's playful? I like a little spice, a little danger, yeah. But just in that quality. But for everybody to wonder and to start things tonight that we wonder about and define things for ourselves and our heretics, you know, free thinking beings, right? So Sean will continue to proffer us plants, and we'll get to entheogens, but maybe now, Ami, is the time to bring in Osein, and you can tell us about Osein.
So Osein is the orisha for herbs and medicines. And so whenever you are surrounded by things that have that plant potency, plants and planets all mixed together, you give thanks and praise to Osein. And so this song goes like this. Osein dama dama dao, Osein dama dama dao. Osein dama dama dao, Osein dama dama dao. Osein dami wo, mo dama wo, adama dama dao. Osein beni beni toble, Osein beni beni toble. Osein beni beni toble, Osein beni beni toble. Saka ka ukuma, o beni bli, beni beni toble.
That's so great, and it's so celebratory. R remember, you know, as humans, right? If we want to invite people backstage, invisible spirits, to our party, you can't go, "I'm really depressed. Come to my party." It's like, well, no. It takes the quality that Ami is emanating through Osein, going, you know, joyful while being fully informed, right? That's like the best. It's like also to be fully informed with a loving heart, a loving, liberating heart. Like, oh, that's a great aspiration. It's one of the best medicines in everything. And then,
Truly.
Speak to us, or just even whatever, just a little short thing on Dionysus Eleutherios,
Yes.
Eleutherios. And you can invite us all to say that as we.
So, and one great bridge from that is a Victorism. Victor Anderson had all kinds of little pithy bits, and one of them was, "The gods come wearing the hats for the party they're invited to." And so we call them to different parties, to different gatherings, to we and we when we do so, we invite them by different names. And so many traditions, a god will have a dozen names. And in the Hellenic tradition, one of the names of Dionysus, which is also a name of Eros, when both of them are summoned as liberator, is Eleutherios. So when you cry out Eleutherios, you are reminding
Eleutherios, right? Yes.
Eleutherios, you are telling Dionysus and you're telling Eros to come in their form as liberator to help break you free.
And it's a great thing for us, you know, in the privacy of your own homes, or feel free to unmute yourself for a second, you know, Eleutherios, because we are here to proclaim our availability. We are humbled. We know that we humans cannot resolve the innumerable horrific cruelties we've imposed on the world by ourselves. It's by ourselves that got us into this pickle. So we are here, you know, and Uranus and Jupiter, backstage tricksters, saying, "We will book, w you tell us what, O Saturn within everybody. We will do common sense things, because that's important magic, but not to let the compelling illusion of realism be an imaginative impediment. You say what, And Uranus and Jupiter say, Uranus says, I'm going to connect each one of you, again, trickster within everything that Sean and Ami are invoking and all of us too. Uranus says, I'm your booking agent. According to your dedication. See, that's the crucial dynamic. Saturn quintiles Uranus. It's such a beautiful collaboration. Our dedication is our freedom. And Uranus says, make your dedication or just keep crafting it, you know. And Uranus says, and I will be your booking agent through serendipitous synchronicity, against all odds, trickster, impossible things, highly likely. Or as Granny Weatherwax says, you know, what is it? Impossible things happen 9 times out of 10 if you're 1,000 to 1 chances happen 9 times out of 10 if your heart is dedicated. There we go. Thank you, Granny. So right, and then but it's a wheel and deal. It's a trickster coyote thing. And Uranus says, I am going to connect each one of you to the coolest thing that you need to dree your weird, and all I want from you humans is just a gesture of availability and willingness. We're available and we're willing, right? And making that gesture, or if the camera's too self-consciousing, just go, try this at home, right? Try this at home with your camera off. Just go, that's right. We are willing. We are available and we are willing. And backstage, Uranus goes, we're on. We're on.
Yes.
They've hoisted their sails for their vessel. We'll put them up before we depart. So that's.
Can we do it with our magic wands? Eleutherios!
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 Yes, that's right. Oh wait, and then just for fun, I dust. We see we have everything we need. If we only look, that's right. It's like, oh, I need more money. Wait, you have rapid money, fast luck charm. Right. You have, you know, High John the Conqueror protection oil. There we go, for wisdom and protection, and fast luck, because, you know, we can't wait around. And alleged money conjuring, all right, so drawing, all of those things. So, yeah, Eleutherios. And because we want to be joyful, creative, and celebratory in direct or maybe greater proportion to our understanding of the danger, right? So maybe now we have weight in the water.
Ooh. Weight in the water. And if everybody could think about their ancestors and everybody that had to wade through the water. Wade in the water, children. Wade in the water. Jack don't trouble the water. Jack don't trouble the water. God don't trouble the water. Said that God is gonna trouble the water. Said now wait in the water. Wait in the water, children, wait in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. Now see those plants and planets dressed in black. God's gonna trouble the water. They must be the ones that ain't coming back. God's gonna trouble the water. See those plants and planets dressed in white. God's gonna trouble the water. Must be the children of the Israelites. God's gonna trouble the water. See those plants and planets dressed in red. God's gonna trouble water. Must be the ones that Moses led. God's gonna trouble water. Said see them plants and planets dressed in green. God's gonna trouble water. They must be the ones that will always be seen. God's gonna trouble water. Said now wait in the water. Wait in the water, children. Wait in the water. The God is gonna trouble the water.
Woo! Full of call and response, yearning, yearning.
Yes!
Yes, right. We do not have a yearning disability. There we go. That's right. That's Steve Behrman says that. Right. So water, we have invoked water, water, water.
That's right, a t-shirt.
And to be but it's so great because we have so much water, right? And remember Mars and Venus, Mars is a Dionysian houseboat party. So we have a houseboat as part of our vessel repertoire, right? You can design your own craft, right? Craft also. Craft means power from dedication, says Max Dashu, our craft, and it's also our boat. It's so wonderful. Let our craft be our sturdy craft in the wild seas. Let our vessel be our vessel in the seas. It's just so beautiful. Right. So Water, Big Mama, Big Mama. You know, Grand Trine in Water when we began tonight. We go, ooh. And I'm so in love with this couple, Abigail and Sean Bengtson, who played them, you know, I'll tell them someday at our council, but and I won't presume to sing the thing, but Abigail's got this wonderful honoring of birth and mama, and she goes, "You might not have been the dream of your mother, if you know what I mean about your mother, but there are always other mothers, 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 fathers, 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 mothers, 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 going all the way back in time to some deep blackwater fish who just wants you to jump up and live, jump up and live. Jump and live, beloved. Born under the right star, beloved." I go, I love that, right? So don't take your mother personally, right? It's a research project. There are other mothers, 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 and all the mothers are here. And when George Floyd called out for his mother, all the mothers were present, right? Mm-hmm. And it was right around now as two. And we go, oh, so this Neptunian grand trine that we have gives us the capacity to begin these playful things, believe deeply playful things, you know, begin these processes, these alchemical processes, you know, to keep playing, but to strengthen each other through mutual aid tonight. Mm-hmm. So it's really the capacity to dissolve. Neptune water says, solve a coagula, dissolve and reimagine. Dissolution is the secret of the great work. We know that all the structures are dissolving. Pluto goes back and says, yeah, I've been in Capricorn for the last 14 years. We know all the stressed systems where there is not community embrace and Big Mama wuzza wuzza and taking care of each other and healthcare and, you know, condos built on sand and cruelty and disregard, you know, everywhere. So Neptune says, well, you know, you can't talk anybody out of a cult, right? But we can do our backstage mojo atmospheric magic to dissolve the atmosphere of mob cult mind, right? Ooh, and I do like wondering, you know, what in human psyche has been receptive to the cruelty kind of QAnon cult thing that has swept unlikely communities. And I go, dogma, anytime, you know, compensatory condescension, anytime we derive status from something we haven't earned or proven to ourselves, we're open to possession, right? But we're here, you know, and sometimes people dissolve the possession and then they get repossessed, right? But we're here to see what we can do, dissolve the atmosphere of mob cult mind from the memosphere, you know, and magnetize the memosphere to invite the best of all to humbly cooperate with nature's guiding genius, right? Because it's like the backstage gods go, all right, humans, this summer, here's your task, redesign the entire human cultural interface with nature, and then we'll have some other stuff, right? And we go, we are willing, with help. And it's like, yeah. And the gods say, we'll do 50%, but not 51%. And it's like, all right, fair enough, you know, but we're available and we're willing, right? So let's see, shall I use the Tibetan bowl for dissolving as well as later?
Yes.
Okay, all right, yes. Let's do that. So the bowl, you know, is vessels. And I was thinking, what vessels do I have in my house? And it's like, here's this, it's 1,000 years old, right? It's 1,000-year-old Tibetan bowl, and I haven't, it was dusty, and I'm
very sorry.
And I left it, you know, and it was like, yes, dust me off and have me sing, you know. And so first we'll do the dissolution kind of a thing. And as the bowl hums in all of us, let's, you know, dissolve all cruelty and dominance out of the human repertoire. Mm. So it's just not there. So... Let's dissolve cults. Cult is the toxic mimic of community, right? So let's dissolve all cults. You know, I like when I back out of crazy conversations, because I engage in much to to practice my equanimity skills. And then my departure line is, may we all awaken tomorrow self-possessed rather than merely possessed. Mm. Right, so that goes into the bowl now. Oops. And may the community of all beings arise from this hum, and they go, ah. So we were speaking, Sean and Ami, about what liberates John the Baptist and what liberates all of us, you know, and I was saying, oh yeah, we use oh yeah all the time, but you said Oshun breaks the shackles.
She does break the shackles, and she has a motion. There's a dance, a part of the dance to her where she's breaking off the handcuffs, and they become bracelets.
Ah.
Yes. And it goes like this.
Baba se se hiya mimi mokosu, baba se se hiya mokosu, baba se se hiya mimi mokosu, baba se se hiya mimi mokosu.
And then she's dancing and she's free and liberated and she laughs. You thought you handcuffed me? Why, you merely gave me new jewelry.
That's great. That's great. It's like Mirabai, the heretic poet from India, who left, you know, would not marry when she was widowed, her brother-in-law, and her family was coming after her. And she goes, you sent me a snake. How lovely, I wear it as a necklace.
Yes.
So I go, right. Yes, all of those things. We want our jaunty, liberating, playful selves to come arise, right? Yeah, because Robert Bly, grumpy also, may he be beloved. You know, quoting or translating Kabir, you know, your depression is caused by your inability to praise. A man who is depressed is a thief and steals from God every moment. Some people get grumpy about that, going, depression's okay. It's true. It's time. It's just one thought, you know. But but praising, and it's, again, wonderful ally Pat Ewing in our political astrology magic thing said, you know, what is the antonym of grievance? And I go, oh, good question. Right, because authoritarianism runs on grievance. And the antonym is gratitude and joy. And then for all of us, self-introspection, it's the Ho'oponopono, right? Because at first I was like, I don't have grievance. And it's like, ooh, these little tripwires. We're dissolving our tripwires that lead us into reactivity or grumpiness, or that person did a mean thing 5 years ago or whatever. And so grievance really is outsourced authority, right? And gratitude is the antidote, to be grateful for our lives as they are rather than... and I do think that humans dissolving grievance from their hearts, you know, the fate of the world is counting on that. You know, and it's the thing I always invoke from Terry Pratchett's I Shall Wear Midnight. The cunning man comes to town and creates mob mind, but he finds purchase in all whose hearts are full of grievance and resentment, you know, and that can be all of us at any time, you know. So dissolving, dissolve, coagula, dissolve, and ladle out the gratitude part. And then, right, I just wanted to bring up another part of our skill set, the Grand Trine in Water, and a beloved ancestor. You know, we got to wade in the water. We were thinking of our beloved dead, right? And I want to think of just wonderful, wonderful Donna Graham, who died this spring. So many people. But what she bestowed, you know, was a great Neptunian way of working with dreams. Long ago, it was in her dream thing. And many ways to work with dreams. But she was such a good guiding people to their own autonomy. People tell their dream, and then she would guide them to tell the dream in which everything in the dream was them. And you could see people coming to, like, oh, the little mundane example I like, somebody would say, I dreamt about talking to a friend on the street, you know. And Donna'd say, well, when's the last time you saw that friend? And they go, oh, 20 years ago in college. I dreamt I spoke to a part of myself I hadn't spoken to in 20 years at a time when I was learning. And it's like, ooh. You know, and somebody had a challenging time finally saying, I dreamt about the tornado, dangerous, volatile part of myself, but the whole room relaxed when she said that, right? And so I like teasing it out into the world, right? It's part of our participatory thing, the dream news, that we're all dreaming this together. But once we have it as a dream, we can begin to lay our altars, or we dream the ignorant white Southern parts of ourselves were attacking the black Christian church parts of ourselves, right? So then what do? We put a little circle of, well, herbs, right? What would we do to calm out the white violent part of ourselves, Sean? What would we sprinkle around that on our altar to cool it out? Mm. Reflection. Mushrooms, possibly a plate of mushrooms.
Yes,
we'll bring in LSD before we depart, or just slowly, right? So I like that, you know, and it's our way of spiraling out of polarity. You know, there was a time, you know, when Hillary Clinton was running against Obama, and there were people that I love dearly who loved Hillary and thought that anybody who didn't vote for her was a creepy, terrible anti-feminist. And I said, well, what is your Hillary? In your dream, what does she represent? And I go, oh, I like that Hillary. Right, that's not my Hillary. Mm-hmm. And in keeping with, you know, just the what's going on out there, there are certain things that do give me conniption fits. But I realize, like, okay, you know, in the dream world, well, what is it? What is this person in you? This person that you like that I think is a dangerous crackpot. What is this person in you? Okay, let's strengthen that you see, right? Again, how do we step out of that, right? And, right. So, and then you'd already brought in Manananan, right?
Right.
thank you. That's right. I'm remembering it now. They're mine. Okay. But I think this is, you know, the dream news, you know, that we're dreaming this up into being. And then we bring in our plants and our mojo and our symbolism to strengthen the good and contain the not so good. And I've done this work with a police woman in charge of security for Obama's first inauguration. And there are magical cooperators everywhere. You never know. And that's part of what we want to dissolve is our limiting cartoon about anybody. Mm. And in return, we want everybody's limiting cartoon about us to dissolve. It's fair enough, right? Let's dissolve everybody's limiting cartoons. Like we're savvy and alert, you know, yeah, so whatever I was going to say, now bring in LSD as the universal consciousness solvent.
Yes, well, whatever you're in need of a solution, a universal solvent will turn everything into a solution. This ancient elder. Over 100 million years old, and writing to me last year, in the last year of his life, Stephen Buhner said to me that we who work with these medicines often forget that they were present for other beings long before us, that the dinosaurs and the great trees partook of these medicines as well. And so they are all a part of the dreaming of the earth. And twice in human history, this fungus has come together with humans to find a way to be part of shifting their understanding of themselves. And so the first time that we know of was at Eleusis near Athens, where at the shrine of Demeter, there were the hereditary keepers of the mystery who knew the secret way to brew the medicine, the kirakan, that would allow people to enter into a state while viewing the mystery plays, of understanding the mysteries of birth and death and rebirth. And so Demeter and Persephone are central to these mysteries, but so too is Dionysus, who is a god born again. And in one of the stories of Dionysus, Dionysus is able to return to the world because he knows the password. And the password is, I am a child of earth and starry heaven.
Well, say it again.
I am a child of earth and starry heaven.
I wrote a song to that. I am a child of earth and of starry heaven. My race is of heaven and earth. That's the last line to that whole prayer thing. I am a child of earth. Anyways, yes. And we sing it in the Sundance Foot Lodge. That very, those lines.
So it's the universal password.
It's the universal password.
Yeah.
Every portal. And Eleutherios.
Eleutherios. Yeah. Eleutherios. Eleutherios. That's right. And so it is, it's Ceres Demeter, right? And Chiron, happening, humming within all of us right now, and this season unfurling before us. But these are the two mythological founders of actual embodied human ritual theater, right? Mm. So as Sean is saying, Ceres Demeter founds the Eleusinian Mysteries. Longest, I keep forgetting, it's hundreds of years, right, that it runs. Right. Longest initiation. And we know some things that, as Sean was referencing, people gathered in Eleusis, they drank this psilocybe ergot brew, is the way I learned it anyway, ergot made not harmful, right, as what happened later with Albert Hoffman, right? So they would drink that. They would dance all night on a houseboat party. Everyone would have an insight personal that they weren't supposed to share, right? Just for them, right? Sometimes to know, to dare, to will, and to be silent. We don't talk out everything. But then everybody had a shared vision in which they saw Persephone descending into the underworld, a maiden returning an initiated queen, right? And this is in our available metaphoric download realm right now. You know, you can switch genders and humans and, I mean, everything too, which is the descent of the uninitiated into the cauldron. If you have a bathtub, that'll do. You know, in which we're deconditioning and just scrubbing off the conditioned part. And the word queen, it turns out, is not a snooty term. It's one of the original words for woman. A woman in her fullness is a queen. Nothing to do with privilege. Mm. Privilege, privé legé, means private law. It's just language is so eager to inform us, going, there you have it, you know. But so I love that. And Ceres Demeter, you know, it's also, you know, I was with Paul Stamets and other cool people in Turkey for the eclipse, and we went through the Cappadocia Mountains where the wind has shaped the mountains into shapes of mushrooms, right? And we went into the Catholic... the Christian monastic retreat caves, right? And in one of the cave shrine rooms, our guide, and there's Stamets saying, around that saint's feet, those are psilocybe mushrooms, right? And painted, right? And the guide goes, I've never noticed that. And I'm like, this could make being a reclusive Christian mystic, like, okay by me.
Coolness.
Sure, yes. Just mushrooms in a cave with the thing. That's it takes so little to make us happy, really. And that identification with large thing.
Wow.
Right. Although sometimes you're John of Patmos and you have a bad trip.
Sometimes you what?
Sometimes you're John of Patmos and you have a bad trip.
Yes. 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 That's right. And we all suffer for that. That's right. Exactly. Into the cauldron. There we go. It was a wild trip. You know. Right. That's John of Patmos. Right. I've been there.
Right.
I've been there. Right. And he's like, you all misunderstood me completely. It was just a local experiment. It's like a Gurdjieff school, not meant to exist forever. Just one time. There we go. Yeah. And then. Just because everybody's hopping up and down and we have all these skills, you know, and it's like, who brought what? And, you know, and all these skills that we are remembering, right? Many ways to participate, as many as there are unique all of us, right? No one way. And so I love that with, you know, shape-shifting phantasmagoria, which is, everything that became a rule in a prison was once a liberating truth, right? So there are so many shape-shifting images for the divine. Of course there could be no one image, right? And but then it becomes a rule, like, no, you shall not make any images. And it's like, right, and let's bring in the green man in the Quran. Right? Who knew? I didn't know until a couple of years ago. So the green man is called Qadir. I'm not pronouncing it completely right, but Qadir, it's where two bodies of water meet, is where the hidden guide finds us. Right? Ooh. So Qadir approaches Moses and says, Moses, what is this fetish you have for rules? Right, this commandment thing, right? And Qadir says, let me liberate you from that, and basically gives him Shaktipat. And for a moment, Moses is completely freed of rules and commandments, but then he forgets, right? Because as is the way of man, right? But right. I love that the green man liberates Moses from orthodoxy. And wow. Orthodoxy means straight teachings. Ortho, like orthodontist, straight, doxy teachings. We like our teachings curvy, please. There we go. So that's fun. And then, shall I bring in just the Asclepion and Chiron as part of our
yes.
Okay, so there's Ceres Demeter, definitely dripping, you know, but Ceres is in Virgo now, so she recommends microdosing as excellent, as a part of, not that everyone needs to do anything ever, right, even just hearing the word is medicine. Right, but microdosing, the plants are really trying to help us out, the mycelial network, so that we can identify with a larger thing, and that's what the entheogens are. What is your preferred word for entheogen again?
Well, I have a new one now. Now it's panentheodelic, because for a while I was saying entheodelic because there's manifesting the divinity within you rather than creating it. But then I realized that when you are manifesting the divinity within you, you're calling out to the divinity and everything else. And so everything then gets invited, and so then it's panentheodelic.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's right. And it happens that on our Dionysian houseboat that we're all on right now, there is a panentheodelic deli that's just opening now for anything that you want. It's a step right up to the panentheodelic deli. That's really great. Yeah, step right up. Well, because as wonderful... names, Karen Sanders, herbalist, on KPFA with me for two. So she's very, I like that. She goes, oh, all those ayahuasca, everything heads. You can microdose anything, you know, like a little teensy, it's so un-American, right? A little teensy dote of mugwort or whatever. And she goes, ooh, and it's very interesting. And she said a friend of hers had been given a whale baleen that had washed up on a beach, and her friend made a little alcohol tincture. And Karen said, all you needed was like one or two drops, and you were in vast oceanic intelligence. Like, ooh. Wow. The micro, you know, everything's trying to help us to identify. And how about those orcas? I'll get back to Chiron. But I like that the scientists were saying, you know, people were like, oh, you know, but they were saying, you know, there seems to be a collective defensive response from marine mammals. Right, because you were saying that they're teaching each other, right?
They're teaching each other, and they're also doing it in such a specific, well thought out way. They only go after the yachts.
Oh, cool!
They take the rudder off the yacht.
Oh, that's so
clever!
They don't
damage the hull. Oh, they just leave the yacht there without the rudder.
That's wonderful. They remove the Saturn.
Exactly. If the people try to get on lifeboats, rather, they leave the lifeboats alone. They're not trying to hurt the people. They're trying to disable the yachts that have been hurting their family.
And they're teaching other whales.
Yes.
Right.
Brilliant.
Yeah, that's really, well, it's also in keeping trickster in nature. When I lived with Stella Coyote for 19 years, you know, we talked a lot. You know, our creation myth is that long before there were humans, there was trickster who sets the whole shebang sizzling with a little bit of liberating lightning that runs through every plant and every species and everything. And every now and then it's orthodox and it must escape. It must leave its cape behind. So it becomes a great escape artist, you know, You know, and then it hums into each one of us now, because now is the time for our trickster ingenuity, liberating, spiraling out of polarity self, right? And one of my favorite things, and I've seen this in action, but coyotes will watch humans laying a trap, you know, on forest cameras and stuff, and the mean humans who won't be able to be cruel anymore, you know, proceed, and the coyotes watch them, and they come up behind them, and they dig up the traps, and they spring the traps with a stick as community service.
Wow.
And then for attitudinal flourish, they pee all over them. And it's like, that's it. Yeah, so the coyotes and the orcas and the thing, and it's like, yes, and may they be safe. May these creatures be safe. May Obatala, may Yamaya, you know, they are her children of the sea. Yes. We call upon safety and trickster ingenuity, you know, and the power of boomerang, right? And the power of our atmospheric mist. Boomerang is where it comes right back at you with a meringue pie in the face, right? And also our atmospheric mist that we're brewing. And I like using this and engaging other people to use it. You know, my custom brew is a lavender psilocybe mushroom mist, but we can add, you know, devil's club and thing, you know, that we waft out, and we're going to do this at the end of the thing. You can customize your own atmospheric mist with the intention, let anything up to no good fizzle like a wet firecracker fart. And it's a good part of our repertoire. I've found it to be effective. And it's playful. People are happy to join in such things. So, okay, briefly back to Chiron, right? So Chiron is quintiling the sun, right? It just means he's hopping up and down, eager to come alive in all of us. He's the other mythological founder of actual embodied cultural theater. And so Chiron is the first mentor. Forget the wounded healer thing. He's tired of that. He's the first mentor 2,500 years ago. He's a centaur. He's a mentor centaur, right? So Steve Behrman says, going to take a centaur mentor journey, right? So he lives in a cave because he's half horse, but he is the most knowledgeable, cultured, and kindest of all beings. So he really represents the right relationship of wild nature, thin membrane, human culture. We're inviting that in. And he starts a school for future cultural heroes, teaches Asclepius, speak Greek god of healing, teaches Orpheus how to play the lute. Healing and music and art, one thing. Why are you modern humans always sundering that which belongs together? We'll have to wait for the solstice of 2023 to re-wed everything that belongs together that's been falsely estranged. There we go, okay. And I like this little bit of dissolving our grievance, because his students' tasks are impossible, and they always succeed after they study with Chiron. So in Chiron's mythology, to be underestimated is considered a positive strategic advantage. It's a trickster thing too. Watch this, right? Because if you're gonna do something impossible, might as well make it a surprise. So I love this in dissolving our grievance, when people go, those people don't respect me. They didn't let me in their club. They don't do that thing. We go, that's excellent. How lucky. You get into Chiron's school. What we think is a like boo-hoo, whaley-whaley exclusion. Remember, the word ecstatic means to stand outside. That's because you have an ecstatic relationship to those institutions that wouldn't let you in. How wonderful. Get on the houseboat. There we go. So then the last little bit here, Chiron then founds these cultural centers throughout the Mediterranean. I've been to one on Kos, the ruins. And cultural center where people really went, called Asclepions, and they went at a time when, like now. And they're not tripping, they just drank rhodiola root tea, just come into balance. And then they would intend Saturn to have a dream. Saturn in Pisces, it's, you know, something's always true, times when they're truer. They would intend to have a healing dream for themselves and the community, right? It goes together. Redemption lies in brewing medicine for others, right? They'd have a dream, because we have records. And then they knew, because it was common sense, they would only have the power of their dream or their insight once they had given creative outward expression to this inward experience. So they'd write a poem or do a dance or participate in a play. Or, you know, having done that, they'd have the power of their dream and they'd go back to their communities as seed Renaissance people. So that all really happened, right? So it's available to us. And Chiron's so excited to be honored and named and Quintile the Sun, and says, I am a happy companion through this season unfurling before us all. You know, the Asclepion is available. Do all of us have, you know, willing to make a dream and willing to give expression to the guiding dream? And we go, well, yeah, sure. So many of the refugee boats wash up on the shores of Greece. And for a while, and great tragedy. And so what I thought was, you know, how everything's a dream and a poignancy, a terrible poignancy, but poignancy is kinship, that the modern crisis of cruelty in the world is washing up on the shores of the ruins of what could heal it, right? Mm. You know, if we had more of a Middle Eastern Bedouin understanding of the traveler, you know, as a blessed pilgrim, you know, the Bedouin greeting, you know, when Bedouins in the desert are, halloo, change your direction and come this way. You know, you must have endured so much. You must have, you know, traveled so hard. You must have so many stories, and they must be the stories that we so need now. Please come in, come in, welcome. We want to set that reversal blessing in motion, yeah?
Yes. Eleutherios.
Eleutherios. Eleutherios. Eleutherios. Right. I don't know what the songs were at the Asclepions, but perhaps we will dream of them. You know, so splendid. All right. I think we're good. So we have the dual or multiple purpose Tibetan bowl. And just for everybody to think of the elixir of medicine that each person has been brewing, you know, with, well, Sean's put LSD in all of it, but what if the microdosing, the whatever, the calamus for truth saying, right? Yes. With several drops. I like a couple of drops of Mae West, just for fun. Just, you know, Mae West, wonderful clips, you know, somebody saying, you know, I've heard so much about you. Yeah, but you can't prove any of it. Anyway, so we want a little bit of smart aleck as well, you know, in the thing, you know, man in movie says to her, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're driving me crazy. Do you want to drive me crazy? No, but I'll call you a taxi. Anyway, we want more of that. We want more, several drops, you know, customize, you know, again, you know, bitterness and astuteness and cleverness and magnetizing accomplices and whatever, windfalls of wherewithal, you know, whatever we're putting in there.
A little splash of Frida Kahlo.
A little splash of Frida Kahlo, right? So just as the bowl, you know, just think of, you know, the blessings, the elixir, the dedication, all that strengthens everybody's dedication, all the help. There we go. There we go. And to toast each other, right, with our customized brew. But this is our wedding ceremony, where it's like, kiss the bride, for you are she, re-wedded to your destiny, you know, in which we toast each other and go, we love our lives, right? Mm-hmm. So we love our lives and we're wedded to ourselves. Is that good?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Ashe. Eleutherios.
Eleutherios.
And now.
And the blackthorn tree wants to offer us all a blessing.
Yes.
The blackthorn tree's mystery motto is Morad Ruhn, increase and exalt the mystery.
Another great passion. Can you say it one more time?
Morad Ruhn.
Morad Ruhn.
Which means, again, sorry.
Increase and exalt the mystery.
Increase and exalt the mystery. May the mystery be exalted and exhortational as well, which means to encourage in a big way, that we may be escape artists and leave our capes behind and all conditioning that we don't need, right? Scrubbing off anything between us and us is a good idea. Yes. So, alrighty. So we're going to set sail in our vessels with our plants and allies, and spiraling forth our atmospheric mist. So, Ami, do you have a send-off for sailing?
I do, and everybody gets to stand up and howl and spray your mist around. Kai, 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 kamaya lodo, kai, 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 asesu lodo. It's too loud. Kai, 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 kamaya lodo, kai. Kakai, asesu olodo. Elegba, elegba, asokere kere meye. Elegba, elegba, laroye kilamboje. Aye, aye. Elegba, elegba, bo. Elegba, elegba, bo. Abomeji, 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 yare, ido uyare, oh, kai, 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 yemaya olodo, kai, 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 asesu olodo, achaba olodo, yemaya olodo.
Thank you, team. I think we're done. That's right. That's very wonderful. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Ami. Thank you, everybody here.
Yay!
Your dedication. Asclepion doors are open. All access backstage passes. We have so many skills and ways to participate. And this is Yemaya from Cuba.
Ooh, she's gorgeous. Hello, Therios, mama. Hello, Therios.
Hello, Therios. Thank you, team.
Love a while.